Welcome to iDeveloper Live, episode 9. Right, just checking out in the chat room. Can everybody now hear me? Because I've just been fiddling with stuff just before we go. See, I've got to wait now because of the pause. Anyway, I'm just going to assume that's going to go on. I want to introduce a very special guest that we got on the show today, Mr. Michael Fay from No Thirst Software. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great today, Scotty. How are you?
I am doing good. And now, just in a moment, someone will tell us in the chat room if they can hear you. So, while someone's waiting to do that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, as you said, my name's Michael Fay. I work for the venerable Kevin Hochter. I don't know if you've heard of Kevin or not. He's kind of like a bit player in the Mac developer community. Runs this little company called No Thirst. We make some financial software. Money well for iPhone and money well for Mac. There, I've done my plugs. Now I can. He won't yell at me.
Yeah, you can say what you like now, because now you've mentioned the company, you can just be your own man.
Good. That's good. So yeah, that's Moneywell from No Thirst Software. Moneywell, Moneywell. Everyone loves Moneywell. So yeah, I've been a developer for, well, as long as I can remember now, because my memory is not that good anymore. I've been working on the Mac and the iPhone for the past few years and loving it and really enjoying the indie space. It's been great working with Kevin and Danny recently joining the group. It's been an awesome experience.
Well, it's great to have you on, Michael. Now, you were supposed to be on as part of our new Back to Tech part of the show, and you were going to bring the tech for us today, but Mr. John Fox decided to go skiing and not tell me till the last minute. So now you are co-host extraordinaire. You've got to do the news. You've got to do all the business section. It's all down to you. So hopefully the pressure's not too great. You've got a great opportunity here to shine or to crash and burn.
Yeah, that's no problem. John hasn't exactly set the bar very high, so I think we'll manage just fine.
I do hope he catches up with this, because, oh, that's been my favorite moment of the show ever, I think.
Well, I think we should just leave it on a high note here, really. I mean, that's probably as good as it's going to get.
That beats the Trabant comment. What can we say? Right, okay, well, one bit of news that has come out since we were last on the air is, it's back to the Mac App Store again, but that's the current thing at the moment. Pixelmator, $1 million. I mean, what do you think of that?
Yeah, they absolutely knocked it out of the park, and I honestly couldn't be happier for them. I think that's such a great success story. Those guys work so hard, and they've put out such an incredible product. I think that those kind of numbers are exactly what they deserve. Absolutely.
So, I mean, how do you think? I mean, we're guessing here now, okay? I'm totally guessing. Yeah, how do you think that compares to what they were doing before the Mac App Store?
Well, you know, it's interesting because Kevin just put up a blog post sort of describing how we've done. And for us, the Mac App Store hasn't cannibalized any of our direct sales at all. We're still running the No Thirst store, so people can get Moneywell directly from us. And the Mac App Store has been just surplus income. Our sales are
so you've made $1 million as well in the last couple of weeks.
Two, actually, but you know, we don't like to brag. It's been great because our profits have been 3 to 4 times as much. So now I believe they did run a little bit more promotion because we told people that we were on the Mac App Store, but they're also running the promotion where they're selling it at a reduced price right now so that people can get the free upgrade to 2.0 through the Mac App Store when they release 2.0. So they're trying to get their customers converted over, whereas we just sort of said, hey, we're on the Mac App Store. If that's someplace you'd like to get us from, that, you know, you can find us there as well. So they did promote it a little bit more, and I'm sure that it's with their sale price that, you know, they're cannibalizing some of their direct sales, if they are even running direct sales anymore. I didn't catch that.
I have to say I didn't look either in that. I mean, I just think what it says though is the Mac App Store is doing what it was supposed to do. And I don't even think yet, actually, that anyone who really is going to come into this market, you know, mom and pop, has even started buying from this way yet, because, you know, how many people really do press that, you know, oh, there's a system update. Oh, it's all those megabytes. Do I really want to do it all the time? And so I think it's going to take 3 to 6 months for a lot of those people to come on board and suddenly realize there is a Mac App Store, spot the icon down in their dock. And so, you know, to me, this has probably just come from extra geek sales. And in fairness, maybe some upgrade revenue because of that offer as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. We definitely have not hit critical mass yet in terms of people having the Mac App Store installed on their machine. That's kind of something that Kevin's blog post hit on a little bit too, is that, you know, we didn't hit like a sales spike so much as that we're getting consistent sales through the store. So this is great. I mean, it's growing. It seems to be growing organically. So every time someone updates to 10.6.6, that's another Mac App Store out there, and that's another icon in someone's dock that they can say, "Hey, what's this?" and then go and find software. So yeah, we definitely haven't hit critical mass yet.
And you found, obviously, you don't want to reveal all confidential details, otherwise Kevin will fire you. But you found that, but the actual normal website sales haven't dropped off at all either. It's not a replaced income; it is additional income.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. It's like I said, our direct sales are the same year over year as they have been. So this is, the Mac App Store has been purely profit for us. It's been great.
That's good. Now I've put the link to Kevin's blog post in the chat room. I'll make sure that goes in the show notes if the show notes ever arrive, and because I'm not great at those. But I find this really exciting. I mean, first of all, it's great that a company could produce a bit of software like Pixelmator and really show that it's worthwhile. But you know, this really does say to me that, you know, the future for software developers on the Mac is fantastic. And people who've been holding back, thinking the only way to go was the iOS and iPad and iPhone, should now really be saying, okay, maybe some of this investment is worthwhile.
Yeah, I think so too. I absolutely think so too. I think it's been, I think a lot of the fears that showed up, that were sort of talked about beforehand in terms of race to the bottom and stuff, a lot of those have not proven, have not shown themselves yet. Definitely some price drops here and there, but in general, I know that we're still selling our software at the same price. And I think that in general, the cost of software is at a sustainable level. That's always been my thing, is that this race to the bottom is not sustainable. I mean, you get some quick hits and that's fine. And it does definitely yield some great successes for people that can be in the top 10. But other than that, the race to the bottom helps no one, because you just can't survive on it. So it's been great to see that we haven't had to worry about that too much.
Okay, Coco Samurai in the chat room says yes, the Pixelmator guys, they've gone Mac Store, Mac App Store only. So that's that answers that one for us. See, this is the great thing about having a chat room. I don't even have to do any research. I just ask the question and wait for the answer to come through. So if anybody knows what I'm having for supper tonight, please let me know. That would be useful. It's in there. Right, well, I'm not going to hang around anymore, because we promised last week that there would be more tech, and more tech we're going to give, because, Michael, you are here for the return of Coco Fusion. Now, the great thing is, you were never part of the original Coco Fusion, were you?
No, that I wasn't, Scotty. So I'd like to welcome Danny and Kevin. Oh, what's that? Oh, I'm sorry, Danny and Kevin.
Where are they? Where are the Coco Fusion guys?
Yeah, clearly.
Let me check if they're under my desk. Nope, can't see them there.
Jeez, that's so weird, because I don't really understand how we're supposed to have a Coco Fusion segment without the Coco Fusion guys. Maybe they're hanging out with John somewhere.
Maybe they've all gone skiing, but no, because actually, people may not know, but Danny joined No Thirst Software as well recently. So now it's Coco Fusion from No Thirst Software.
That's correct. We're
keeping
it all in the company.
The first thing they would do, the first thing they would do is make you do it.
That's exactly correct.
I like dedication. No, they're great. I can't remember what their excuses were. I think Danny's bought a new guitar and Kevin's just feeling too old. to be up this early in the morning now. What are we talking about on Coco Fusion from the new Coco Fusion person?
Well, today I was going to try to bring a little enlightenment in the form of the responder chain. I know it was something that really gave me a lot of conceptual trouble when I first started. And since I've figured out things, a lot of lights have gone on. Let's put it that way, that a lot of light bulbs have gone off about how things work in the Coco frameworks. And it's really something that I think that developers should understand. And hopefully I'll be able to bring some of that understanding out to the group today.
I think it's one of those things, isn't it, that you could ignore and not really understand if you want to, but actually gaining an understanding of it will make you make better choices.
Absolutely. Yep, that is exactly correct.
All right, so I'm going to start with the old best question from Late Night Coco. I'm bringing the Late Night Coco questions to Coco Fusion, this merging of ancient podcasts. What is it?
So the responder chain is a communication pathway in your app. In your running application, whether it's Mac or iOS, it's part of Foundation. Well, it's part of AppKit and UIKit. But and so it allows you to send messages and events around your app. You see it most when you're using the mouse or the keyboard or something like that. Anytime you type a key or click the mouse or move the mouse around, those events are going through the responder chain and being processed by different parts of your app. So it's used to send those keyboard and mouse events. It's also used to send messages around, whether they're built-in messages or programmer-defined messages.
Right, I'm going to be honest here. I'm looking at your notes. What's it not, then? I'm not going to do that to you all the way through. I just thought, well, you want to send me this stuff, I'm going to go with it.
So... Well, absolutely, yeah. This way keeps me from totally losing my place. This was something that caused... This was the main point of confusion for me when I was trying to figure out the responder chain is not only what is it, but like where does it live, I guess, in the life cycle of the app. And it doesn't follow inheritance. It doesn't traverse the inheritance hierarchy. It's not confined to the view hierarchy. It's really its own structure within the app that AppKit sets up when the app launches. For keyboard and mouse events, the responder chain is constrained to a window. So let's say you have a main window that has a text field in it and you start typing, those events live within that window so that your text field is your first responder. And then, the next responder up the chain is the view that text field lives in. And then let's say it's just a very simple hierarchy. So the next one is the window. The window is the ending point for that responder chain, unless it has a window controller. And then that's sort of the final destination for key events. But for action messages and such, that responder chain looks completely different yet. That you get something that starts out in the view hierarchy, but then will proceed up to the app controller and the app delegate. So like I said, this is set up by AppKit. You don't ever have to touch it if you don't want to. You don't ever have to modify it or set it up yourself, though you can get in there and start playing around with the responder chain and inserting your own instances.
Okay, so, I guess before we get into any details, tell me why, give me some of the advantages I'm going to get by understanding this and fully how it works so that, I know why I'm going to be bothered to listen to you for the rest of this show.
So one of the more basic uses of the responder chain is within AppKit itself. And that's, let's say you have a Mac application that has your menu at the top. All of your menu entries that are enabled and disabled are done through the responder chain. So if you've ever said, well, like, how do I know that, how does the app know that I can't cut or copy text right now? It's because it's gone through and it's blown through the responder chain and found if anyone responds to cut or copy. And if it doesn't necessarily find anyone that responds to cut or copy, then it says, well, this is not an available action for the app. So I'll have to disable this menu item. Now, cut and copy, those have some more validation associated with them. There's actually like a menu item validation method that gets called as well. So in the case of cut and copy, it's probably because you don't have any text selected. But you can use, if you implement your own methods that you know you're going to want to tie to some menu items at some point, you want to make sure that wherever you implement those methods, it's in the responder chain so that when you click, click on like a new transaction button, let's say that you're running some personal finance software. When you click on the new transaction menu item, that somewhere in your responder chain, it's going to find a create transaction method, for instance, and then it's going to be able to follow that through. So it's really, the responder chain is really pretty powerful because you can send messages through your app without having to have any sort of direct contact between two instances of a class. You could just send a message off into the ether and have it picked up by the responder chain, and then anyone that implements that method down the responder chain will be able to pick it up and respond to it properly.
Scott, I'm just gonna make a quick aside here to let you know that, you know, Danny is now online. He's been watching, and he's regretting that you're taking all the glory, and he's just now one of those old has-beens.
Glory, really? Is that what he's calling it? Because
no, that's what I'm calling it. Come on, this is the most glorious moment of your life, doing Coco Fusion.
Yeah, this is, yep, definitely it. This is it for me. I'm retiring after we get done recording. Actually, I want to leave on a high note. So, this is it. This is my swan song, Scotty.
Well, you're doing really well. You're doing really well. Not that well, but really well. All right. Before we get told off for ruining the tech, what do we need to talk about this thing next? What, you know, where do you want to take us?
I wanted to give a little bit better idea of what the chain actually looks like, and I'm going to stick to the Mac side since that's where I've been, and sort of try to describe it a little bit more in depth. I'm not going to go too crazy down into exactly how everything is implemented, because I think that a lot of just hearing it doesn't necessarily convey everything that you should get out of it. There's some good reading on Apple's developer website, specifically the Coco event handling guide and the NS responder class reference. Those are two things that you should absolutely check out. But I'm just going to go over sort of a high level overview of how it works and how it's set up, and then we can open it up for questions, I guess, and see what the chat room has to say.
Sounds good.
I'm going to stick to the Mac side since that's where I've been spending a lot of my time lately, and just sort of present a simple case where you have the responder chain in a non-document-based app. Depending on the type of app that you have, the responder chain actually, it is different. But the non-document-based app is the simplest version of the responder chain. So when you have event messages like the keyboard and the mouse, the responder chain starts at the point where the event gets passed to the lowest member of the view hierarchy. So if you have a window, that window actually receives the event, and the event starts off at that window's first responder, which is basically whomever. Let's go with a mouse click. It's going to be wherever the mouse is hovering over. When you click down at that button, it's whatever view that mouse hits, and then we'll proceed up through the view hierarchy until it finds someone that responds to that. Now, if we go back to our simple case of a text field inside of a view, inside of a window, when I click in the text field, the cursor shows up and starts flashing there. So now that text field is my first responder. And when I start typing keys on the keyboard, the text shows up in that text field. And so that text field is actually eating all of these events. It's not, even though it is using the responder chain, it's not going any higher up than the text field. But let's say, for instance, now that the view behind the text field was your own subclass of NSView, and it's called color change view, for instance. And it responds to swipe events. So when you swipe on a trackpad, the colors will change, let's say. So now your mouse is sitting over the text field, and you swipe on your trackpad. Well, the text field doesn't know how to handle that swipe event. So the responder chain starts at the text field, and it says, do you know how to handle a swipe? And the text field will say, no, I don't have any idea. And then the responder chain will go to the next responder, which in the case of this text field is the color change view. And it'll say to the color change view, do you know how to handle a swipe? And the color change view will say, yes, I do. And it will then consume that message and change color in the view. So basically, it allows us to send messages that we know, that we hope someone will be able to respond to at some point. And you can put views in there that'll respond to certain messages. This is how custom controls work, is you start looking at what methods are available for NS Responder, and you can implement those in your custom view subclass, and that's how you start on that's how you get the control into a custom control, is to start consuming responder chain messages. If you look at NS Responder at the class reference, you'll see a huge list of things that NS Responder handles by default. They're not handles by default, but messages that are defined by default that you can then implement in your NS Responder subclass, and sort of start from there. You don't even have to define any of your own. These are all things that are sort of provided for you. So, yeah. I need to close the company chat because Danny and Kevin are getting into it, and it's distracting the heck out of me.
Yeah, tell him to get back on with work. If they couldn't be bothered to come on themselves, then to stop irritating you. That's what we say. We've got the talent at No Thirst now. We don't need you guys anymore.
So yeah, that's like a simple example of how you would consume sort of any sort of event messages that might occur. But there's another type of event that gets pushed around the responder chain, and those are action messages. And action messages go beyond the view hierarchy. They start at the view hierarchy. They start with the first responder, which could be that text field. And then they go up to the NS window. In a non-document-based app, then above that is the window delegate. So it'll go to that, and then it'll go to NS app, and then the app delegate. So this is interesting because now it's not just keyboard and mouse events. It's any messages that you can send, anything that you can define, any selectors that you have, you can actually send through the responder chain to see who implements them, or if anyone implements them. We go back to that create transaction example from earlier. I might not necessarily know who implements create transaction. Maybe it's at the window controller. Maybe it could be anywhere in the responder chain. But I can just use, actually, NS app has a method called send action to from, where it takes a selector and a target and then a source, a sender. I could just say, NS app, send action, create transaction to nil from self, for instance. And the interesting thing about that is if I know who the target is, I can definitely specify it. But if I don't, I can just send it to nil, and it will send that message. It'll start right at the bottom of the responder chain and travel all the way up until it finds someone that implements it. And it's a really neat way to sort of dynamically tie things together very loosely without having to know a lot of implementation detail in any particular class. You can just use the responder chain to send messages around.
So, I mean, you've talked about this before. So really, and we talk about a responder. A responder is anything that is a subclass of NS responder.
Yeah, that's correct.
And where does NS responder sort of fit in the hierarchy of life? I mean, you know, it's in lots of the classes that we use.
Yeah, so NS responder is a pretty high level class. NS responder comes from NS object. That's its superclass. But all of your NS controls, all of your controls, all of your views, everything. Well, not all of your views. Everything comes from NS responder at some point. So you can, when you look at any sort of like if you look at NS button, for instance, if you look at its inheritance hierarchy, you can see that NS button does come from NS responder. It's the thing right before NS object. So yeah, it's a very high level thing that provides some base functionality for all of your views and user controls.
Right, now I think you wanted to sort of give us an example of the responder chain in use through menus.
Yeah. I touched on this a little bit earlier. For instance, in MoneyWell, we have a new transaction menu item. And if I wanted to go ahead and make sure that that was properly implemented, and I wanted to make sure that it was properly enabled when it was supposed to be and disabled when it wasn't supposed to be, I can define a create transaction method that I can then tie that menu item to. Now, what's interesting is that we have, let's say that we have mainmenu.nib. Mainmenu.nib defines our menu, but the rest of our user interface doesn't live in mainmenu.nib. We don't have, we've broken that out into different view controllers and everything else. So how do we tie create transaction using interface builder to make sure that, you know, that message gets where it's supposed to be if we don't have direct access to anything? And if you look in interface builder, there's this first responder object. You can actually use that first responder object and tie your menu items directly to it. You can click on first responder and define any of the messages that you want. So I could click on first responder, bring up the info for it, use the plus button to create a create transaction method, and then I can tie my new transaction menu item to the first responder. It'll send a message to first responder. Now, first responder is really kind of cool. Once you figure out how it works, first responder just uses, it's a proxy object for nil. So that when you tie a menu item to first responder, you're actually, if you were to write the code, you'd be writing NS app send action to from, and you'd be sending it to nil. So using first responder in interface builder, you can tie any of your objects to any of your other objects in your app very loosely. You just need to make sure that whomever is implementing them is going to be in the responder chain down the line at some point. So in our instance, like I said, we have our main menu nib that doesn't contain anything but the menu, but we still have all our menu options tied to all our menu items still tied throughout the app. And it just works through the responder chain. And it is magical until you figure out how it works, you know, until you wrap your head around how it works, and it's like, oh, that makes perfect sense then. I'm still sending messages around. It's just that they're getting there sort of circuitously.
So, I mean, really understanding this stuff and how it's working is, helps you to understand really a lot more about Coco, because Coco is going to be in many places just sort of dependent on you knowing that this is what's going to be going on.
Yeah, that's correct. That's exactly correct. And like you said, you could get away with writing an entire app without having to know anything about the responder chain. And I have in the past. But once you...
Oh, you don't want to admit that. You never, surely.
Far, long, long ago, before I met Kevin, I absolutely, you know, this was a long time ago.
And he still employed you.
Yes, yeah. I really pulled one over on him in the interview. yep. So, you don't need to know it. It's interesting because you can do so much without having any idea how it works. But once you take the time to figure it out, it's it's like a whole other level of Cocoa development has opened up, and you things that were just sort of that you sort of put off as magic before now make sense, and you can see how this stuff works.
So if people really wanted to, as we hope they would, sort of get to grips with this and understand it, where should they be looking? You know, what documentation or what code?
Yeah, I would really recommend checking out the event handling guide on developer.apple.com, the Cocoa event handling guide. It can be a little dense or sort of dense to plow through, but sort of give it a couple different reads and just try to apply it to what you're doing. And then also the NS Responder class reference is great because you get to see where all these events where all these event methods are defined. And it, I don't think it's something that a lot of people look at because they'll look at, you know, if you want to learn about a button, you bring up the NS button subclass or the NS button class reference, but then you don't ever traverse up the hierarchy to get to NS Responder and say, oh, this is where all of these other things come from. So there's a lot of meat in NS Responder that you should definitely check out and see where these things are defined and how they're defined.
Okay, I don't know if you've had a chance where you've been speaking to be watching the chat room, so I'm just going to give you a moment to have a look in there and see if you want to pick up on any of those comments. Because often there's it all sounds very lovely and elegant, but there are one or two problems now and again, I'm guessing.
Yeah, let me see here. I've been ignoring the chat mostly because I've been ignoring Danny.
Yeah, well, that's easy to do.
Yeah.
Well, no, hard to do, but essential to do.
Yeah. Let's see. I did answer what the first responder and the nibs are for. That was good. If I do say so myself.
Well, this glory is going to your head. Does anybody in the chat room want to make a comment that we can just read out and pick up on and just add to this, or just naively read out and turn out to be totally wrong because we don't know anything really? See, the problem with this is the delay period. That won't go to them for about 30 seconds.
Indeed. So I'm looking at Uli's thing of, have you ever tried to implement something in the like a modal panel for yourself? So what he's saying is that, have you ever injected something into the responder chain to keep people above that point in the responder chain from getting messages? And no, I have not, but that could definitely be done. And that's actually a good point. So you don't need to deal with the responder chain as the AppKit gives it to you. At any point, you can ask for a responder's next responder and assign that as your next responder, and then set yourself as the responder's next responder. Did you follow me there, Scotty?
Yeah, I think that made sense. But if it didn't, you can go back and listen to it again.
True.
Not you, because but other people.
And this is actually, this is useful on the Mac side for inserting things like NS View Controller instances into the responder chain. On the iPhone side, on the iOS side, view controllers are part of the responder chain, but on the Mac side, view controllers are not part of the responder chain, which I know tripped me up a little bit. And so what I've actually done in Moneywell is taken our view controllers and make sure that they are put into the responder chain properly just by setting the top level views next responder, and then as the view controller, and then taking whatever that responder was above that and setting that as the view controller's next responder.
So you're effectively linking yourself into the list.
Yes,
now, I'm guessing you've also got the chance there if you really wanted to absolutely screw everything up, because it's up to you whether you pass it on or not, or is that automatic?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely, you're wielding a sharp sword here. You can absolutely cut your head off very quickly. So yeah, if you start munging with the responder chain, you have to take the responsibility to make sure that you are maintaining its integrity properly.
Yeah, so it is worth really just following what you're doing rather than just randomly just throwing stuff in there and thinking, oh, I can go and hack anything here.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so do we need to cover anything else, or are we going to call that a day on responder chains? Just waiting for a few comments to come in.
Yeah, unless there's anything else that's going to come in through the chat line. Like I said, this is a very high level, sort of a high level overview of the responder chain, and I'm absolutely simplifying a few things and definitely leaving a few things out. Hopefully, I've sort of given people enough to go off on their own and fill in some of the holes.
Yeah, I mean, we're an audio podcast. It's really hard to do anything other than high-level overview stuff in audio. We hope to go video one day, and then you could have demoed some code and whatever else, but that's not happening today, especially with the bandwidth problems I have here. It's hard enough getting audio out over the air, let alone getting video out. Okay, so that's that was the Coco Fusion techie section from Mr. Michael Fay of No Thirst Software, the bravest man in No Thirst, willing to come on the air live. None of this recorded stuff like the old guys did that they could edit all their mistakes out. You are the man. You have set the standard for them to beat when they start coming on in the next few weeks, and it's a high standard, and they better get into training is all I can say.
Well, thank you, Scotty. I'm suitably humbled by all that praise.
No, you're not.
No, who am I kidding?
Right, okay. Well, that's that was techie. Now we're going to go for speak about something that I've become really passionate about over the last few weeks, which is a good job because it's me organizing it, is Developers Against Poverty. Now, as we're going out live right now, it's January the 31st, and so the Developers Against Poverty website hasn't yet gone live, but by the time you'll listen to this on the recording, I'm assuming it will be at least February the 1st, because this won't get edited till the morning anyway. Well, not edited, because we don't edit. Won't get whatever the words are. Yeah, you know, to the morning. But anyway, I really know what I'm doing here, Michael. Don't worry. Just stay with me. Please. Don't go. Please don't go. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, Developers Against Poverty. That's it. The website will be there. With all the information about it. But basically, Developers Against Poverty is a campaign that's going to run for February and March. What's that? About 60 days, isn't it? Where I want to get software developers from all around the world to help bring clean water to areas of the world that lack it. I mean, it's actually, you know, we're talking about responder chains and Macs and iPads and whatever else. And, you know, there's a billion people in the world who can't even get clean water every day. So we just need to realize, you know, how blessed we are. If you're a software developer and you own a computer, I don't care how broke you feel, you are a blessed person. Unsafe water and a lack of basic sanitation kill more people every year than violence, and that includes war. And most of the casualties are kids. 42,000 people roughly die every week, and 90% of those are kids under 5 years old, simply because they haven't got clean water. I mean, you've got kids, haven't you, Michael?
I do. I have one.
Yeah, and that's a recent one. How old?
She's 5 months old now.
And I bet you never once have you worried, is she going to make it through this week because the water I'm giving her might be crap?
No, certainly not, fortunately.
There we are. It is fortunate. So basically, the silly thing is, or the bad thing, or the great thing, whatever, for $20, you can provide someone with clean water for 20 years.
That's amazing.
It's there. So yeah, you can bring by I think it's about $5,000 to bring a well to a village of 300 or 400 people, and that includes maintaining that well. So part of the problem often would be that you would put a well in somewhere and then it would just go out of use. But so the whole maintenance of that well for 20 years, having it serviced properly and everything, it would average out at $20 a person for that village to have a well for 20 years, which is just, you know, phenomenally cheap and you know, absolutely nothing. So you'll find details on the Developers Against Poverty website, which is developersagainstpoverty.org. I'm not collecting money. I don't want to get into that. I don't want to have people asking me, am I trustworthy? Am I not trustworthy? So I'm running a campaign through Charity Water, which I'm sure lots of people have heard about. But one of the things that struck me about Charity Water, other than they a deal with water, which is what I wanted to do, is 100% of what you give will go directly to building a well or, you know, making it happen. None of it will go on admin or advertising or any of that. And in fact, if you look at the website, there'll be there's a pie chart that tells you exactly how the money gets spent in there. And there's a couple of videos telling you about it. A chance to sign up and say you're going to support. There's badges that you can take and put on your website. But most importantly, there's this huge donate button. You can't miss it. Press the donate button. It will take you through to the Charity Water website against the campaign that that we've set up, and you can donate. Now, I'm not telling people what to do, whether it's going to be a Developers Against Poverty Day or whether you've got to, you know, do this or do that, because there's so many different people. There are indies, there are employees, there are consultants, and, you know, I'm going to be honest, I just want your cash. I don't really care what you do. I want your cash. Now, if you want to just put your hand in your pocket and give $20 or $50 or $100, $1,000, $50,000, I'll leave it up to you. Other options are available. That's fine. If you want to do what I'm doing, is I'm taking some days over that 60-day period. I'm just saying all the sales from today are going to go into the campaign, 100% of the sales. Maybe you want to run a charity. I don't really care, but I think, you know, just think how lucky you are that you've got water. And just put yourself out just for a day or half a day, or just put your wallet out for a little bit and make a difference. Now, you know, 50 grand is going to only affect 2,500 people, which is a drop in the ocean, if you'll excuse the pun, compared to the number of people that are short of water. But for those 2,500 people, it could be the difference between life and death. Now, the campaign hasn't even started yet, and there's $115 been donated. So I think that's quite a good start, really.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm actually filling out the donate field form right now, Scotty.
Ah, you are the man. You are the man. So that's you're just going to prove that, to me, that my my figures on the website do not update automatically every 10 seconds, and I'm going to have to go and manually change it. I'm not a web developer. I want to thank Marcello at Wrinkly P Design for helping design the website and setting me the challenge of trying to make it work, because I want developers for more platforms here, which means I've had to make this website work in IE. I'm going to be totally honest. When I'm doing the iDeveloper TV website, I don't really care about Internet Explorer. If it works, that's great. If it doesn't, if I can tweak it to work, great. Otherwise, not too fussed. This, I've had to. To make sure it works in IE and Firefox and Chrome and Safari. And, oh, boy, if you're a web developer out there, you have my sympathy. You really do. You have my sympathy. Your life is crap. But you still have clean water, so you should still be grateful and give me some of that money you earn by doing that crap into Developers Against Poverty. Do you think I'm very good at this fundraising stuff, or should I give up now?
No, I think just stay the course, Scotty. Stay the course.
So that, how did I ever get into this? That's Developers Against Poverty. That's Developers Against Poverty. I've even lost the chat room. I have no idea if anybody is saying anything. Chat room, where have you gone? Where? Oh, there they are. Developers Against Poverty .org. Please check it out. I mean, there's a holding page there at the moment if you're listening live. If you're listening on the recording, then it should be there by now. Register your support. Put a badge on your website. Encourage your developer friends. You know, they may be Java developers or Windows developers. Don't worry about it. They've still got money. And that's what we're mainly interested in. I'm going to be brutal. And, yeah, you can make a difference to somebody, and that's a good thing. Right, there we are. I think I waffled on far too long about that, but I'm quite passionate at the moment, as you can tell, and really quite... this has to work. The pain I've been through to understand how to make stuff work in Internet Explorer, this has to work! It has to work! Please, make it work! There we are. Let alone what I've had to learn about Ruby and Rails, but there we are. Okay, right, I think we're going to call that a day. We've hit our 45 minutes. Michael, just remind us who you are again, and tell us where people can follow your ramblings in Twitter and anything else you'd like them to know.
Yep, so I'm Michael Fay. I work for No Thirst Software, fine purveyors of Mac software since the golden age. So, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Mr. Rooney. That's M-R-R-O-O-N-I. I have a blog, but I have not written anything in years, so we won't even bother plugging that. But definitely go to the Mac App Store and buy Moneywell. Go to the iOS App Store and buy Moneywell. Yeah, leave us some 5-star reviews. We're doing very well in the ratings. We're very blessed in terms of our star rating. So it's feel free to continue to help us to bump that up. Yeah.
That's great. I'm not going to tell you anything about me because you may already know it. And if you are more interested, developersagainstpoverty.org. And you can follow at devsagainstpov on Twitter if you want to know more. We're not looking for 5-star ratings. We're just looking for cash. So go give us that instead. Right.
I just gave some. Everyone should give some.
That's right. Thank you very much. It's much appreciated. And let's see if we can make a difference to a few people's lives. So until next time, all you guys out there, you take care.
Thanks, Scotty. We'll be right back.